tough. It was a wacky game, man. It worked out. The Broncos found a way to do it, 31-30 over the Chargers. I was talking to my dad after the game. We always kind of do a post-game chat there, Colfax. And my dad said, you know, games like this you can't really enjoy until you win it. So in this case, Broncos fans were having a hard time enjoying this bad boy until about a second left in the game. And Drew Lock finds a way to get it done. First advantage, text line 31996. Let's unpack this thing today. I want to get your thoughts. So it's a crazy game. I mean, yet again, the Chargers are going to charger. You know, that's what they do. They lose games that they're supposed to win more than anybody else, perhaps, in the NFL. Maybe even more than the Atlanta Falcons at this point, which, you know, hopefully the Falcons can charger next week, because that's where the Broncos set their sights coming up on Sunday. So this was a strange game. In the first half, it felt a lot like the Kansas City game. You have the defense playing pretty good. They held the Chargers to 0 points in the first. The Broncos got three after a Justin Simmons interception. And really, you're up by three until about 5 minutes left in this game. So let me just, I'm going to pump the brakes here. There's a lot of people that are saying, oh, the Chargers outplayed Denver for three quarters. False. The Broncos won the first quarter. They outplayed the Chargers in the first quarter. The Broncos outplayed the Chargers collectively, and I'm talking defense, because the Chargers' offense wasn't doing anything either. The Broncos' defense outplayed the Chargers for about an entire first quarter and all but the last 5 minutes of the second. Yeah, so, and yeah, it looked like the Broncos' D was out of gas that very first drive by the Chargers, but for the most part, I would say the Broncos' defense... you know, they ended up allowing 30 points, but again, the time of possession was absolutely crazy in that first half. You have to find a way to get past that. Yeah, Broncos offense early on in games has to find a way to extend drives. I think they only had, what, one first down, two first down in the first half? So that's inexcusable. But let's just look at this realistically. It all kind of went to hell for the Broncos at the end of the second. When you had the touchdown, then the late touchdown, and you go up, you score two quick touchdowns late in the half, and you go up 14-3. Then you come out in the third, Chargers get the ball, they go down, score, and you're thinking, uh-oh, this Chargers team is, now they're going to run away with this thing. Because you're up 21-3, and there's no offense in sight. It's scary. Look at the time of possession, Colfax. I mean, about 36 minutes for the Chargers, 24 minutes for the Broncos. That's tough. You can see why this defense was absolutely gassed. But the Broncos scored 28 points in the second half. Colfax, I tweeted it at the time. Broncos are down 24-3 at this stage. And it's looking pretty rough. But they found a way to do it, and it started with Philip Lindsay and a 55-yard touchdown.
This is Lindsay, and Lindsay finds running room. 40, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Denver Broncos.
Nuts, right? So you have this play that happens, and again, Philip Lindsay had 6 carries for 83 yards. 6 carries, that's it. Broncos got away from that rushing attack, partly because it really wasn't working in the first half, but you also didn't stay dedicated to it, like you know we've talked about for a very long time. But you look at the situation and you're thinking, man, this is a rough go overall. And Lindsay gives you some life. So now it's 24-10. And you're thinking, all right, well, maybe you get a stop. Now, I'm checking out, I'm listening, I'm reading stuff today, and we're going to have Zach Stevens on from DNVR a little later. Justin Simmons said, because if you'll remember, the Broncos gave up the touchdown. It's looking bad. You're down 24-3, so defense is gassed. Maybe they're done. You know, it's a Chiefs game all over again. We've busted our tails, and our offense isn't meeting us in the middle at all. So you get to a situation where the defense is about, who knows, maybe they're checking out for the game. Philip Lindsay scores the 55-yard touchdown, which was absolutely beautiful. And Justin Simmons told reporters that on the sidelines, we went nuts. The defense went nuts on the sidelines. and basically said, all right, that's motivation. Let's go out, get a three and out, and go from there. So we'll do that. We'll see what that looks like. It's looking scary again, though. Broncos get the ball back after that. You know, the defense is playing great. Drew Lock throws an interception. And that's it. You know, you're thinking, okay, now it's 24-10. There goes the shot. Wind completely out of the sails for this team. Right back down the field, the Chargers go. They throw it into the end zone. Bryce Callahan comes up with a huge interception, acrobatic interception, and the Broncos get the ball back. They drive down the field, and Drew Lock connects with his old buddy, Albert Okwebanon, for a huge touchdown to get them a little bit closer.
Lock, end zone, caught, touchdown.
Huge. You know, that's another. How many butt catches were in this game, Colfax? Two butt catches. Not that they caught it with their butt, but they needed their butt to come down in bounds in order for the touchdown to count. Albert O comes up big. I'm liking that he's a big, strong tight end that can route run, and he's, you know, he's decent at blocking. Noah Fant's good, and he's kind of getting back into the fold. He had a nice game stat-wise, didn't get in the end zone. But that was huge. So now it's a game. You've got the situation where now, all right, it's 24-17. Now you just got to find a way to get this thing done. You're starting to go again. And the Chargers later get the field goal, and the Broncos are thinking, all right, now we have to. Chargers march down, get the field goal, so you're down 10. So with about 7 minutes left, and I'm thinking, they got to do this quick. This has to happen pretty fast. We need to get down to the 40 fast. You need to get on their side of the field really fast. Well, Philip Lindsay gets the ball, runs it to the right side, runs for about 10, 15 yards, gets knocked out of bounds, late hit, tack on another 15, and the Broncos have it in Charger territory. The very next play, two plays to get in the end zone. Deshaun Hamilton catches it, goes deep, and this was beautiful.
On first down, Lock to throw. Over the middle, and he's got his man. That is Hamilton, and Hamilton to the end zone for the touchdown.
That was beautiful, wasn't it? Two plays, 75 yards. It took 27 seconds for the Broncos to do this. So now you got all the time still, and you're thinking, all right, this defense has had the Chargers number for the most part, and now it's 27 to 24. So 27-24, you're down three. Chargers are driving. You can't give them a touchdown. You can give them a field goal. And at the end, Fangio uses his timeouts correctly. I was kind of wanting, he had three timeouts. I was kind of wanting Denver to use it around that, was it 3 minute mark or something around that stage. But instead, let me check for sure. Yeah, that last field goal. Okay. It took him eight plays, 46 yards, and it was it took him about 3 minutes and 45 seconds. I don't know how much time was left there, but we were north of the 2 minute warning. Denver uses one of their timeouts at that point. Maybe it was two, but I was wanting to use a little sooner. It worked out. Denver gets the ball back. They're down six. You got to have a touchdown. It was crazy. The Broncos continue to drive. Two key defensive pass interferences. I believe both were on Albert O. One was in the end zone. That would have essentially ended the game, or pretty damn close to it. And then instead, you call defensive pass interference, and you get to the one-yard line. Drew Lock rolls out. It's an option-type play where either Drew Lock's going to go into the end zone or die trying, or he's going to find somebody open. Well, that somebody was K.J. Hamler.
Lock going to roll and throw and cut.
I think he got both feet down. That was a good throw. I think K.J. Hamler gets both feet down in bounds.
Do you remember when the officials went on the strike like a few years ago? And there was a telling picture of how bad the officials were. There was a catch that came down. It was like a tie catch kind of deal. Both guys are wrestling for it. One ref standing right by the other, holding up a touchdown sign. The other ref holding out an incomplete sign. That was this case. The ref in front of K.J. Hamler, or in the back of the end zone, called it incomplete. And the ref on the other side of the end zone called it a touchdown. But the review showed it. His butt went down. That was a touchdown. Drew Lock's dancing. Brandon McManus needs to make the extra point. He does. There's a penalty. It's on the Chargers. Fight almost breaks out. They get away. And the rest is history. The Broncos find a way to beat the Chargers. And four critical touchdowns there for Denver. And again, I go back to this. Philip Lindsay. Colfax is going to bookmark this, that play, that 55-yard touchdown. Because that, if the Broncos make something of this season, which I think there's still a lot of doubters out there, and there's still a lot of testing to do, because I don't know if Drew Lock really got any further in that evaluation. Maybe, because of the comeback drive. The comeback drive, that stands out in my mind. That's a big thing. It's hard to do. And he looked calm as hell. He's dancing, you know, before they go into the huddle, before they even have their first play on that final drive. It's nuts to me. So there's certainly the good, the bad, the ugly with Drew Lock. And we'll get to that throughout the day today. I want to talk about this defense. Kareem Jackson is a scary individual. He is a man amongst boys out there. He's knocking his own teammates out. He's knocking other teammates out. I'm not condoning causing concussions, but this guy can hit, whether he's using his head or his shoulders. He is a monster. He revs this defense up no matter what. They get pumped because of it. I love watching Kareem play. Yeah, I wish he wouldn't torpedo. I wish he'd work on that, but I love watching the guy play. I want to get to more Broncos talk. Good, the bad, the ugly, Colfax. Let's bump over to that. Good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. It's all good. The Broncos won. I'm happy about it. But again, this just furthers the cause, furthers Philip Lindsay's mission to get paid more. This was the play that perhaps saved a season, saved a city, maybe even saved the world.
This is Lindsay. And Lindsay finds running room. 40, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Denver Broncos.
That's one of those you're going to want to remember. You know, you're still down by quite a lot when that touchdown happens. But to me, that was a great play for a franchise that needed a win badly. They need a huge win. Mission's not accomplished, though. The Broncos have had two of these in the last 2 years, one under Vic Fangio, one under Vance Joseph, where they win a game that keeps them in the hunt, kind of, realistically. But then they don't follow that up. That'll be the test for the Broncos coming up. The bad for me, a game that I had on my outside the Broncos Chargers game that I was excited about was the Raiders Browns game. Raiders win, but whoever watched this game, did anybody really win?
Second down and 10. Mayfield looking for the end zone, deflected away.
Yeah, it was bad. Just bad. Was it 16-6? Just not a good game. The ugly. The franchise that has been the biggest dynasty in the NFL, perhaps in history, as far as spread out time, you know, is a long 20-year run. Cam Newton looks bad. Bill Belichick's more upset than usual. Maybe the dynasty for the Patriots is finally falling. Cam Newton fumbles late to ensure that they do not walk away with another win.
Newton will keep it. Newton. Oh, he lost the ball! Buffalo takes over! Cam Newton coughs it up with 31 seconds left.
Crazy times, Colfax, and that is today's Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. We had our first Power to Play sports poll question up at theholeshow.com. Who gets your game ball? And that was an obvious one, so I'm going to get to that coming back. We changed it up, a new poll question for you. Check it out at theholeshow.com. Who's the better quarterback on the field, Justin Herbert or Drew Lock? Walking away from that game. I know Drew Lock gets the late-game heroics, but did Herbert look better in your eyes as far as a quarterback? Like, I mean, again, Herbert's a rookie. Drew Lock's kind of a rookie, but he's been there a full year. But still, fairly in 2 years, it's not going to matter as much as who was a rookie when. But who was the better quarterback on the field yesterday? Even though Drew Lock comes up with the game winner, he comes up with the huge plays late. Check this out. 55% of the hooligans are saying Justin Herbert, even with the loss, was the better quarterback on the field yesterday. What do you think, hooligans? Go vote 19 minutes after the hour. Shout out to A1 Organics. Get your fall mulch application for trees, beds, and gardens. They deliver in bulk, or you can pick them up at their retail center in Eaton. They also load for free. That's A1 Organics in Eaton. They're your recycling center as well. They recycle grass, leaves, chipped wood, sawdust, clean wood, waste, pallet, lumber, not stained, painted, or treated. You name it, they will take care of it for you. That's A1 Organics. 20 minutes after the hour. Short break. Power to Play sports poll question. Who's the better quarterback on the field yesterday? Herbert or Locke? Let's talk about that. Also, more on the game ball. Who's that going out to? There was a lot of playmakers for Denver in the second half. A lot to get to. Short time to do it. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
You're listening. listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Dan Patrick, The Halls Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Are they back? Are the Broncos back? They're 3-4 now. Getting a, well, it's going to be a big victory in the AFC West. And now that you're adding another playoff team, that was a pretty big game. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, some people could say things just fell the right way for Denver. But I'm telling you what, right now, because I've heard the Chargers talk. I've already heard it. Oh, that's rare. That's never going to happen. And they got some lucky breaks. Tell you about, you want to talk about breaks, how about Kareem Jackson hitting people? I mean, this defense is legit. I'm going to stand by that. Offense, starting to like the weapons, starting to feel good about them in the second half, but still some work to do. I still like that rushing attack by Phillip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. Wasn't really working against the Chargers. How much of that was the depleted line and Graham Glasgow? I don't know. Lindsay found a way to get a couple of big runs, though. He got the 55-yarder and then another big one late, which, you know, that part of that that two-play drive, they got a touchdown with Deshaun Hamilton. This defense is legit, so I don't care if you want to walk away and say, oh, lucky win, and somehow Denver, I don't know how that happened, Chargers gave it to him. Walk away with this. I can tell you right now this defense is good, and they're getting better. A.J. Boye was picked on yesterday. Michael O.J. Moody was picked on yesterday. But they still found ways to do it. Got to have the compliment on offense, though. Defense can't continue to be out there. You can't have two first downs in the first half. You just can't do it. And, I mean, that kills you. Obviously, it kills drives, and then it puts your defense right back out there overall, and you just can't have it. And you saw that with Denver start to wear down overall. You know, they, as far as first downs, the Chargers had 28. Denver had 17, and most of those came in the second half. And that's going to wear your defense down. So, yeah, if you're looking at 30 points and you're saying, well, Brady, really? That defense wasn't that good. They were out on the field way too much in the first half. They were mentally and physically drained by the time halftime ended. But Drew Lock sparked something on the offense and gave them some hope. And again, Phillip Lindsay, I can't talk about this enough. Yes, you see him run for the 55-yard touchdown. You see him kind of inject some life into the offense, but the defense said as much. Justin Simmons, one of the leaders on this team, on this defense, said when we saw that, we said, all right, D, let's go out. Let's get a three and out. Let's go get a quick stop and make this a game. It changed everything. When your offense can show you that they can move the ball and they can score touchdowns and they can actually compete, it doesn't look like you're just defensively just going out there, getting stopped. That's not really going to mean anything. It slowly wears you down. You saw the blowout last week. You saw the blowout between, you know, everybody was getting mad at each other, including Vic Fangio and Shelby Harris. Bradley Chubb was upset. Everybody was mad. Defense was frustrated that the offense wasn't doing anything. This was worse than that. Denver couldn't even get first downs. They couldn't move down the field. Justin Simmons gifted them that first 3 points they had in the first half, their lone 3 points. Listen, if you're walking away still concerned and you still don't know about Drew Lock, rightfully so. Drew Lock in the postgame, you know, had a few things to say. Listen, last week I wasn't nuts about the whole, hey, listen, you guys can criticize me all you want, but if you haven't played, you know, guys that can't do what I do are the ones criticizing. I don't really like that. And I know the Broncos are doing their doubting thing. Like, I saw Dalton Reisner tweeting, and I love Dalton. Listen, I love most of these guys. Dalton Reisner tweets out that if you're not with us the whole season, you know, either get on or get off. We're going to keep going. I mean, they like the whole, like, every team in the NFL would rather the us against the world mentality. They want that more so than everybody believes they're going to win. That's what they want. They want a chip on their shoulder. That's how sports rolls. But listen, if you have gripes about this team, you have concerns, they're still legitimate. It's not like you were wrong this whole time to doubt everybody and to doubt Drew Lock. Drew Lock did not look good for 80% of that game. But a couple of post-game thoughts from Drew Lock.
If you look at it, you know, I got to play in the first game against the Titans. I played a couple drives in Pittsburgh. Jeff came in, then Brett came in, went to New England, then played Kansas City. We've had three full games with this offense and like the normal personnel. I mean, we lost our guard again. So, you know, maybe we're just starting to click. Maybe people had opinions of us based off of, you know, six games with three different quarterbacks, multiple lines, guys on defense getting knocked out. I think people just love to make opinions and jump to it quick. And I hope that, you know, we can keep proving them wrong.
He's not, you know, he's not really wrong. And it's not like I don't think he's making excuses. Those are legit. Those are real things. We've had a quarterback carousel already early in this season, or almost halfway through this season. You've had a lot of quarterbacks play for you. It's not wrong about that. You've had a lot of injuries. Your best offensive weapon, and maybe the spark plug on this team, Philip Lindsay, has struggled with injuries. We didn't know if he was going to go in this one because of the concussion, but he did. Thankfully, he did. That was huge. He's not wrong, but I don't know if, you know, you're wrong for coming up with your own opinions about this team early on. I mean, most of you out there don't have the same expectations that I do for this team. I still think this team is a playoff team. You know, I have them winning these next three games now. Colfax, I'm happy to say this. I've only missed one game so far. The Broncos-Titans game, which I think Vic Fangio and his timeout screwed me out of that one. But I still feel confident about this four-game stint. This was the testing grounds, really, for Drew Lock. And did Drew Lock pass the test yesterday, Colfax? He was so bad in the first half. So bad. Then he threw the interception in the second half. Other than the interception in the second half, he was actually pretty good. He still looks to roll right too quickly. He was doing that in the first half. Once he settled down and was actually just, you know, working in the pocket, taking his time, this offensive line was working for him. Bosa goes out. That certainly helped. But, I mean, he ended up putting together a damn good game. He had a 94 passing rating, 60.9 QBR. Three huge touchdowns and one interception, 248 yards. Not a bad game. So, but a comeback, a fourth quarter comeback, that's worth, like, you know, you put that up against like eight bad starts, right? A fourth quarter comeback is difficult to do, especially for a young quarterback. So did he pass the test yesterday? Yeah, I'm going to give him a passing grade. I'm not going to give him an A. I'm not going to give him a B, but passing grade. Got like a C-plus in that game. Because, again, the fourth quarter comeback is key. That was huge. He was making nice throws. He was finally taking what the defense gave him. He was landing on some of those deeper throws, finding open players. Great play design, too. Pat Shurmur and company doing a good job there. So a lot of head-scratching moments in the first half. But really, it was, for the most part, the second half, it did seem like things came together. Is this a Chargers thing to do? Sure. I mean, they have done this for a while, especially against the Broncos. Anthony Lynn's got to be, like, kind of on a hot seat, isn't he? So, Colfax, the Broncos were 1-4 last year going up against the Chargers. To keep their season alive, they needed to beat the Chargers. They beat them. They went on to beat the Chargers. They didn't beat the Chargers the last time around, did they, or did they? I can't remember. But anyway, that was a pivotal moment. It was a big moment for Denver. Okay, we're not done. We're not cooked yet. They ended up missing out. Joe Flacco was terrible. You go Drew Lock. But whatever. They won that game, and they kept themselves alive. The Broncos, 2 years ago, under VJ, Vance Joseph, it was they were 3-6. It was November 18th. They were 3-6. They lose, they're done, right? They win that game, and then they won the next two games after that. They got back to a 500 record. You remember that? They got back to 6-6, then they lost their last four games of the season, and VJ was gone. But it was that Chargers game where they stayed alive. They proved that they weren't done yet. That's why next week's Falcons game is so critical. Because, all right, you did it again. You beat the Chargers to stay above water. You're not out of the playoff race yet. Can you follow it up? Can you do it again? Can you get back to 500? That will be the big question, the big task coming up next for the Broncos. 33 minutes after the hour. Let me tell you guys about the Windsor Mill Tavern. Love this place. They're in the newly remodeled historic Windsor Mill. They're on Main Street. They're serving fresh takes on classic, shareable American comfort food. But I got to tell you about the handcrafted cocktails, the all-encompassing beer list, incredible selections of whiskeys and tequilas, and a premium wine list. We have your spirits over at Windsor Mill Tavern. I got a $20 gift certificate to give away. I'll go caller number 4 970-353-1310 or toll free 877-353-1310. Caller number four, you got a $20 gift certificate to Windsor Mill Tavern. 34 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break. Mark Knutson coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
After the hour, we're live here from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We're talking a lot about the Broncos-Chargers game. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Who was the better quarterback on the field yesterday throughout, Justin Herbert or Drew Lock? Joining me now, Mark Knutson, contributor here for 1310KFK.com with his Three Strikes blog, also WoodyPage.com. Mark, I mean, we can talk Broncos. The CSU situation, Steve Adazio is like a secret society, man, when it comes to his quarterback. He's not going to let us know.
I wrote this week on blog.
We're not getting you, Mark. I don't know what the deal is, my friend. You know, that cell phone connection, just not good. So we'll have to see what we can do with that in the future. But I know Mark's been tweeting about this. The CSU quarterback deal's weird. It's a tough one. It's gamesmanship. You know, most of the time, established teams, you know who their quarterback is. You don't have to tell people, they just kind of know. But Steve Adazio talking about his quarterback situation, it's like the great mystery. You know, and nobody knows. He doesn't want anybody to know. He's asked about it, and he's like, no, I'm going to stay away from that. The other teams don't need to know yet. I'm not prepared to give that information. It's like, well, why? I mean, come on, Senteo wasn't very good. Patrick O'Brien probably should get the job, right? No. Shh. Silly little reporters. You don't know what you're talking about. It's a weird deal to me, Colbs. I really think it's gamesmanship, sure, but I don't know. I still, you know, we're not going to know until day of. And I also think injury reports, in college, they bother me. Like the NFL, they have to give that stuff out all the time. College is much different. You know, we didn't even know Dante Wright was out until like right at kickoff last week. So that was interesting. But it's got to be Patrick O'Brien, right? I mean, you look at what he did late and then his body of work last year. You know, I want to see him get his fair share. Listen, this by no means makes it, like official that Patrick O'Brien has arrived and he's a stud quarterback. And he was okay last year. He was an okay quarterback on a really bad team that just, you know, they had a lot of issues defensively. They were good. They had good receivers, but it really just wasn't, collectively, just wasn't that great. So, yeah, I mean, O'Brien's not, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, you got to have O'Brien in if you want any shot. But I kind of felt like maybe his resume, you know, his pedigree and everything he did last year kind of earned as much, but not the case. At least that's what we're told. How about Wyoming, though, Colfax? So Hawaii, they beat up on Fresno State 2 weeks ago. So we're curious to see how Wyoming and Hawaii do. It's in Wyoming. Wyoming wins 31-7 over Hawaii. Are we a little nervous, Rams fans, at this point? I also read something. Trey McBride came out, and it was in the Zoom call today. Again, these are right around show prep time and what have you, so I'm not able to commit live to them. But Trey McBride tells reporters that the reason he came back is because he hasn't won a rivalry game, and he wants to win a rivalry game. So he asked Adazio and his crew how serious they take rivalry games, and he must have liked the answer because here we are. Well, Wyoming beat Hawaii 31-7. Levi Williams, he's 9 of 18. Didn't throw a touchdown. He threw 100 yards. But it's, you know, they put the ball on the ground. They run. Xavion Valladay, 32 carries, 163 yards. Ugh. If that doesn't keep you up at night, Rams fans, then I don't know what will. I mean, that, and they again, 281 yards rushing overall, and that's going to be tough. That's going to be a big task for this team that's already, you know, defensively, they're not the greatest. Chuck Heater, this is going to be a task for you, man. Can you get this defense ready to go? Or are you staring at 0-2 in the face here in this very short season? Valade does it all, though. He also had two receptions for 32 yards. But it was, I mean, again, they ran the ball a lot. Valade ran the ball 32 times. Trey Smith carried it for 20 times, 89 yards, 20 times. 59 carries, 59 rushing attempts. That's what they're going to do. They are going to run the ball on you. And just don't commit turnovers and play tough, sound defense overall. Look at the time of possession. Wyoming had the ball 38 minutes. Hawaii, 21 minutes. That's all you got to do. If you run like that, you're going to win a lot of football games, especially in the Mountain West Conference. So what can Colorado State do to bounce back after losing to Fresno State? Well, I think you got to go with the Patrick O'Brien move, or you're going to, Rams fans are going to roast you. I'm watching the Boston College game, Boston College and Clemson, and I get it. You're without your guy, without Trevor Lawrence, but you know Clemson's still a good team. Yeah, they still find ways to, you know, to be a good defense overall, but they're without their guy, so it's different. But Boston College almost wins that game against the best team in the nation. Boston College, Steve Adazio's old team, they're actually playing okay. I mean, they're what are they? They're 4-3 right now, but they're 4-3, and they almost got they were almost went 5-2. And I know almost doesn't put the crackers in your stomach, does it, Carl? But in that first half, Boston College was outplaying Clemson, and they couldn't close it out. And Clemson's good, not just with that quarterback; they're good at a lot of things. They're great defensively too, and they, you know, they have playmakers. They have solid receivers. Two guys that went over 100 yards. That's just a good team. But so Rams fans are very curious to see how this Adazio thing's going to work out. Because, his old team's actually playing well, 4-3, that competed against the best team in the nation. And your team is 0-1. And you're getting ready to go up against a Wyoming team that might be better than they've been in the past couple of seasons, especially running the ball. And maybe the Cowboys are the real deal. Because I thought Hawaii's coming in not going to be a bad team. But they worked Fresno. And Wyoming worked Hawaii. So take that with how you will. I know that's not always the best way to look at it, of who beat who and how they did it, because matchups and all that can change a lot of things. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day is out. Who is the better quarterback on the field yesterday, Justin Herbert or Drew Locke? Yeah, again, Drew Locke had the late game heroics, but was that enough to give him your nod over who was the better quarterback on the field yesterday? Do you want to thank Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte? I've got a great idea from you. If you want a free cooler, a free painting quote, you get to meet the best painting professionals in the industry, call Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte. Please tell them you heard about them here on the whole show or 1310 KFK, and you'll get a free mini cooler just for that, just by calling this number, 970-414-4131. 414-4131. Say, I heard about you guys on the whole show. Can I get that free mini cooler? And they're going to say, hell yeah, we got you. We'll just get that address. We'll figure it out. We'll get it to you. 47 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. Wrap up hour number one. We still got Zach Stevens to go. More Broncos talk. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Clark Johnson for the Preps Radio Roundup. And we'll close out Broncos Chargers. And tomorrow on a Top Text Tuesday, we'll start looking forward. See if Broncos can pick up two in a row. We'll be right back.
NoCo Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
8 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll roll into the second hour. It'll be jam-packed. We'll mix it up with Broncos talk. We'll get a quick preps radio roundup with Clark Johnson as well. And we'll close out Broncos Chargers. Who gets your game ball in this one? Bryce Callahan, Vic Fangio said that Bryce Callahan interception was the best play of his career. And Vic said, you know, I would know because I've seen every play of his career. And that was a game-saving moment, perhaps season-saving, because Denver makes it 24-10. They go up from 24-3 to 24-10. They get the stop they needed. And then Drew Lock pretty quickly throws an interception downfield. And it's a decent return. So you're thinking, well, there that goes. Wind out of the sails. Herbert goes deep a few plays later, and Callahan comes up with the crazy interception. And the Broncos paid that interception back by going down and scoring a touchdown. So, I mean, that play was huge for me, but I don't know. It feels like it all started with Philip Lindsay, and then it kind of restarted with Bryce Callahan. So, I mean, if you want to go plays, that interception saved the game. I think the Philip Lindsay thing started it all. I liked Kareem Jackson in this one. It's hard not to say good things about Deshaun Hamilton. KJ Hamler. I mean, you could probably throw Albert O in there. Drew Lock, did he get your game ball? I'm going Philip Lindsay. Philip Lindsay's getting the game ball for me. I'm not going to argue with you if you say Bryce Callahan or even Kareem Jackson, because games like that, you know, I don't always need to see the best plays made. I need to see tide-changing plays. That can sometimes be a turnover, a touchdown, or it can be things like Kareem Jackson was doing. I didn't like that he knocked out his own player, and you know, we gotta stop with the leading with the helmet and all that stuff. That's gotta go away eventually. But he had some big hits and big moments, and he's flying all over the field. And he's nasty. We said this last year. The Broncos need a nasty defensive player. They don't have that anymore. Derek Wolfe was kind of that guy. Danny Trevathan was kind of that guy back in the day. Way, you know, Super Bowl days. You had Ward was a stud. I mean, he was one of those guys too. So you've been missing that for a while. Justin Simmons isn't really nasty. You know, Bradley Chubb is a big brute of a man, but I don't see the nastiness just yet. Shelby Harris, maybe getting there. But I need to see some more of that. Josie Jewell had a monster hit on Justin Herbert, too. But Kareem Jackson is a nasty defensive player. You want a guy like that. That's why I threw him up there for our first poll question. And Philip Lindsay kind of ran away with that one, so we decided to launch a new one. Who was the better quarterback on the field yesterday? Drew Lock or Justin Herbert? The bottom line is if Drew Lock can stitch it together, the AFC West is going to be packed with some great quarterbacks. You know, Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, Drew Lock, and then Derek Carr. You've got a nice collection of quarterbacks there. But the biggest question mark on everybody in the West is about Drew Lock. Make no mistake about it. You kind of know a little bit about Derek Carr, but you know he's going to give you maybe some bad games, but for the most part, he's going to put together a pretty stat-filled year. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league, and Justin Herbert's got to be the brightest, you know, the upcomer in the league for the most part. So I think the West is going to be crazy. Drew Lock's got to keep up with it, and that was a marquee victory early on. Now the Broncos got to follow that up. So we'll talk more about this. What changed in the second half? What did Drew Lock say at halftime to this team that got everybody motivated? And why was he so damn calm, you know, north of the 2-minute warning mark, trying to make a comeback win for this team, a marquee victory for himself and Vic Fangio and this Broncos offense? They haven't had one of these wins in a while. This tight, anyway. Like I said, they seem to beat the Chargers when they're almost out of it. Well, they're only a game under 500 in this case. Can they climb back out? This is where I had them doing it, Colfax. I had them losing to teams like the Chiefs and the Bucks and the Steelers. But climbing out of this thing, can they continue to do it? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos coming up next.